Good morning. Thank you all for being here. So I'm going to tell you about this analysis I did with a fantastic research group at the University of Washington and Public Health Seattle and King County STD Clinic. As you all know, STD clinics are crucial for the control of STDs. Due to dwindling resources and high demand for services, many clinics have implemented express care models, some of which we've heard about this week. And the primary motivation for implementing express care is often improving efficiency. However, the impact of express care on disease detection is uncertain. With express care, there is the potential to mistriage patients with disease to express visits, which could delay diagnosis and treatment, potentially having consequences for the health of the patients and potentially leading to ongoing disease transmission. As you all just heard, the Public Health Seattle and King County STD Clinic implemented triage to express care in 2010 using a model with a computer-assisted self-interview, or CASI, an automated triage system. Although there was the intention to implement express visits, due to the staffing model at the time, almost all patients received a clinician evaluation irrespective of their triage status. In most express care models, patients triaged to express care would see a non-clinician staff member, and this clinician assessment wouldn't factor into the services provided. So for this STD clinic, having available the CASI responses and outcomes of the clinician assessment provided this great opportunity to evaluate the potential impact of express care on disease detection. And these photos are of the kiosk stations where patients complete the computer-assisted self-interview after checking in with the front desk. So we conducted a cross-sectional study using data from the Public Health Seattle and King County STD Clinic. We included all new problem visits with a CASI between October of 2010 and June of 2015. We utilized CASI responses to reconstruct a triage status using the current triage criteria, and evaluated electronic medical record data to determine the outcome of each patient's clinician assessments. So here are the criteria of the current triage algorithm. Meeting any of these 13 criteria will lead the patient to be triaged to a standard visit. Generally, the algorithm considers age, symptoms, contact to STD, gender, and health service indications, such as the desire to discuss contraception and the potential need for a pap test. The outcome for this analysis was need for a standard visit, which was based on the clinician assessments. And our intention with constructing this variable was to capture patients with an infection of public health importance that could be diagnosed and treated that day. So we defined patients as needing a standard visit if they had key symptoms, including genital symptoms, abdominal pain for women, or a body rash, or if they received empiric treatment for contact to an STD or otherwise, or if they were diagnosed with an infection or syndrome that could be diagnosed and treated that day. And we included 14 conditions in this group, including primary and secondary syphilis, urethritis, cervicitis, PID, VV, and vaginal candidiasis, among other things. So we estimated the sensitivity, specificity, and area under the receiver operating curve for the ability of the triage algorithm to appropriately triage patients between express care and standard visits. The AUC combines the sensitivity and specificity into a single measure of the overall predictive ability of the algorithm. We identified the primary reasons for under-triage to express care and over-triage to standard visits. So under-triage refers to patients triaged to express care who ended up needing a standard visit, while over-triage refers to patients who were triaged to standard visits but could have had an express visit. And we compared the characteristics of under-triage patients to all other patients using chi-squared tests. So this table summarizes the demographic characteristics of the study sample by gender. You can see that the clinic sees over 3 times as many male patients as female patients. Male patients tend to be older. Both male and female patients are predominantly white. And the largest number of visits was among men who have sex with men. In this table, we look at the overall performance of the algorithm. About 87% of men and 82% of women were appropriately triaged by the algorithm to either express care or standard visits. 4% of men and 2% of women would have been under-triaged to express care. 9% of men and 16% of women would have been over-triaged to standard visits. For men, the algorithm had about 95% sensitivity, meaning that of all the men who ended up needing standard visits, 95% of them were triaged to standard visits. And for men, the algorithm had about 72% specificity, meaning out of all of the men who were eligible for express care, 72% of them were triaged for express care. This leads to an AUC of 0.85. For women, the algorithm had 98% sensitivity, 33% specificity, and an AUC of 0.65. And the algorithm would have triaged about 27% of men and 10% of women to express care. These pie charts show the reasons for under-triage to express care. Of the 893 under-triaged men, patients most frequently ended up needing a standard visit due to report of key symptoms to the clinician that were not reported to the CASI, so about 52% shown in blue, followed by empiric treatment for either contact to an STD or otherwise. Of the 120 under-triaged women, patients most frequently ended up needing a standard visit due to diagnosis with a key infection or syndrome, about 46% shown in green, followed by report of key symptoms to the clinician that were not reported to the CASI. And of note, over 70% of these infections or syndromes were BV. And so these were cases of BV where the patient didn't report symptoms to the CASI, didn't report symptoms to the clinician, but the clinician noted signs on exam and ended up diagnosing BV. When we compared the characteristics of under-triaged patients to all other patients, we found that Hispanic patients and men, particularly men who have sex with women only, were more likely to be under-triaged to express care. And the distribution of race was also significantly different, but this was driven by the other unknown category. We now see the main reasons for over-triage to standard visits. So here we're looking at the triage criteria that led patients to be triaged to a standard visit that they did not end up needing based on our disease-focused outcome. So for the 2,244 over-triaged men reporting contact to an STD to the CASI, but then not subsequently receiving treatment, accounted for the about 44% of over-triaged visits. Reporting sore throat also accounted for a number of over-triaged visits. For the 1,260 over-triaged women, not having had a Pap test in the past year accounted for about half of over-triaged visits, shown in red, followed by reporting contact to STD but not receiving treatment, and wanting to discuss contraception, shown in blue and yellow. In summary, the algorithm had high sensitivity for identifying patients needing standard visits. However, the algorithm had low specificity, particularly for women, limiting efficiency. Importantly, Hispanic patients may experience a language barrier when completing the CASI, and some patients, about 5%, misreported symptoms to the CASI, which would limit the predictive ability of any CASI-based triage algorithm. Our analysis was subject to a few important limitations. First, we assumed that all patients received a clinician evaluation. It's possible that some patients could have incomplete outcome information if only the triage status were considered when determining which services to provide, though we expect this to be rare. Second, some over-triaged patients may have been appropriately triaged, but received inappropriate care. And third, we excluded patients who did not complete the CASI, which limits the generalizability of this analysis to an entire clinic population. Fourth, this analysis included data from a single site, and the performance of the algorithm may differ in other clinic populations. And finally, this evaluation does not incorporate patient preferences, which will ultimately influence the success of any Express Care model. So in conclusion, triage algorithms can achieve very high sensitivity for screening purposes in an STD clinic. Clinics wanting to further improve the sensitivity may consider combining the CASI with a brief in-person symptom screening for patients who do not report symptoms to the CASI. And finally, these Express Care triage algorithms are utilized in the context of an STD clinic, and the content of the algorithm will depend on the health service priorities of that clinic and more broadly on the role of that STD clinic within the larger healthcare system. And this will depend on the patient population of the clinic, the availability and use of different health services in the primary care setting, and competing demands on clinic resources. And this equation will likely differ in Medicaid expansion states and non-expansion states. I'd like to thank Dr. Julie Dombrowski, Lisa Manhart, and David Katz, and all study co-authors, and the Public Health Seattle and King County STD Clinic staff for all of their work and support. And I'd be happy to answer any questions about the project. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for that. Dr. Moni Hansen from London. You did mention sexually transmitted diagnoses in this, and I was just wondering in the under and over triage, what has been the public health impact of these patients being underserved or overserved by this sort of algorithm?
Yeah, so primarily what we saw in terms of patients under triage to Express Care, so that ended up having some type of diagnosis that we put in this group of infections or syndromes that could be diagnosed and treated that day. They were primarily the asymptomatic BV among women, and it was relatively few. It was only 120 women out of this entire sample of over 7,000 women, but that was the main thing that we saw that has the potential to be missed with a triage algorithm like this.
And chlamydia, gonorrhea, HIV, syphilis, have you got any?
So we didn't see many of those. I don't know the exact numbers, but yeah. Sorry, I'm not sure.
Good morning. That was very interesting. Pamela Hacker from Oakland County, Michigan. Can you address how you went through the administration approval of this, and if you ran into any difficulties or concerns by perhaps people that were not necessarily associated with the clinic?
So I'm an epidemiology graduate student, so I don't know too much about kind of the behind-the-scenes implementation of the CASI initially. There are others here that could potentially speak to that.
So did you come in at the step where it had already been approved to go forward with it?
I did. I joined the research group after this. The CASI had already been.
I'd be very interested in hearing about that.
Okay. I was just wondering if you know the percentage of people who refused to fill out the CASI or were not captured by the CASI, and if there was anything in place to assess literacy or fluency in language.
Mm-hmm. So about 25% of patients don't complete the CASI, and for a variety of different reasons. If it's a follow-up visit, someone who is not comfortable completing the questionnaire on the computer in English, and there are a few other reasons. And so these patients would all be triaged they all have standard visits where that information is collected through the standard interview. There have been efforts to translate the CASI into Spanish so that more patients would be able to complete the computer-assisted self-interview. Thanks.